Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Moving them forward, I call it with intentionality, so that there's a purpose in the conversation. They're wanting somebody to listen to them. Teens want to be heard. And so here you are offering maybe to buy them a meal or a soda or whatever, and sit and listen to what's on their heart and about their giftedness and dreams and hopes and the fascination in their soul. Oh my goodness, what a gift. What a bonding. What a building of the relationship parent to teen.
From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and of course, we have been a part of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family, been part of Azusa Pacific since the fall of 2009, coming up on our third anniversary here. This is a great community resource. We are so fortunate to be able to provide information for families and churches and offer services like seminars, the e-newsletters that we do, our daily devotionals, and coming soon, we've got the Youth Sphere going with our certificate program, but get ready for a master's in youth and family ministry coming out of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. That's going to be announced any moment. Today on the program, we're going to have a continuing conversation with Dr. Katie Brazelton discussing tips for discovering how your teen is wired. Let's get into that conversation right now. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a continuing conversation with Katie Brazelton. We're talking about tips for discovering how your teen is wired. She's got a great book called How Your Teenager Is Wired, Discovering Who God Made Your Teenager to Be. And oh yes, that would be great for all of us. Katie is a teaching professor at Rockbridge Seminary and founder of Life Purpose Coaching Centers International. And she is a popular speaker, best-selling author. Actually, I consider her a friend and the proud mom and grandmother who makes her home in Southern California. Welcome to our program.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back. You know, we've been talking in a previous program about tips for discovering how your teen is wired. And I think you convinced me that actually a lot of teens who aren't even thinking about this, or at least it doesn't appear to be thinking, they really do care about where they're going to go, who they're going to be, how they want to become, and even how they want to be connected with God. Sometimes they just don't act like it.
Mm-hmm. And they want somebody to ask them. They want a conversation about it, but they don't even know how to broach the subject themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, so many times parents will say, how's your communication going with your kids? And they'll say, it's one sentence. Or, you know, I'll say, how was school? And they say, fine. And, you know, we go back and forth on this. But yet you're saying dialogue is critical to having good, meaningful conversation, actually helping kids figure out how they are wired by God.
Yes. And you can tell them what you're doing. You can be absolutely honest with them, show them the book and say, look, we can both go through this book together and mark the parent-teen pages. And that's the upfront, bold approach, and they can turn you down,
sure.
Or they can say, I don't know, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. And then you can say, well, what if we just tried one of the five conversations? Just
right.
Get your way in there.
Right.
And they might say, oh, okay, fine, if you just, you know, get off my back after that. Or you can bring it up at the dinner table, or you can, the funny one is to just leave it in the bathroom and see if anybody picks it up, you know, kind of thing to go with you.
So what would it be like? If you're going to have a dialogue, what are some things you'd say to get the dialogue going?
Well, we always do a particular topic, such as spiritual gifts or values or strengths and weaknesses and things of that nature. So we hone in on one topic so that we don't scare them with too much going on. And then you, of course, invite the Holy Spirit to participate in the meeting, and you got to listen actively, not what's on your agenda, but following the script in the book.
And actually, that's important, because parents a lot of times have their agenda, or
mm-hmm.
they even know the right answer,
mm-hmm.
but it turns then into lecture or preaching, and kids aren't going to go
with that. This cannot be teaching. This has got to be coaching, and I call it life purpose coaching, because mm-hmm. that's what I do with my life. You can't be afraid of the silence, for example. You can just give them time to process what's going on. And you cannot be afraid to get to the heart of the matter, to ask a question that might lead them deeper. You just need to be brave and Holy Spirit bold and you know, go for it. Moving them forward, I call it, with intentionality, so that there's a purpose in the conversation. And they're they're wanting somebody to listen to them. I mean, teens want to be heard. And so here you are offering maybe to buy them a meal or a soda or whatever, and sit and listen to what's on their heart and about their giftedness and dreams and hopes and the fascination in their soul. Oh my goodness, what a gift. What a bonding. What a building of the relationship parent to teen.
You know, it's interesting you say that because kids do want to be listened to. They don't want to be lectured at. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I feel it's a little bit like the dog and the cat illustration. You know, we've got golden retrievers, and I open the door and these golden retrievers come and talk. You know, they just hang out with me. They want to be petted, whatever. The cat, on the other hand, I have to kind of wait, be a little patient.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes with teenagers, you know, there's a time and a place, and our time and place is let's do it right now. But with teens, sometimes we have to wait for that right time. And like you're mentioning, sometimes over a meal is easier than when we're sitting at the dinner table with our eyes, you know, glaring at them.
Yeah. And what would be wrong with driving to soccer practice and saying as you're, you know, driving in the car, hey, what miracle would you like in your life? And let them just talk about that one topic, which is one of our 20 topics that we cover, and let them trust you on a response like that. Oh, I would love the miracle of Johnny falling back in love with me. You know, who knows what it's about? We don't care what it's about. Right. Just to open the lines of communication.
Yeah.
And then you can say, well, what about a miracle in your life when you get older? What would you like to have happen then? Mm. Oh, gosh, I'd love to open a horse ranch for troubled teens. You would you? Mm-hmm. How about that? Well, how can I help pray for that miracle to happen if it's God's will for your life? So it's the using of the language constantly while they're growing up on, you know, what's your motive? What do you value? That they then get used to you talking to them like that.
Mm. But yeah, I see that as so helpful. You know, one of the things I've done with my girls, and again, I have all girls, but, you know, they've had the date since they were a little kid. And, you know, every time it's not amazingly meaningful conversation. I mean, you know, there's times when, and I have an agenda at all times. So the agenda, I mean, I've even had the agenda in my pocket, you know. And my daughter, Becca, and I just went on a trip together. She works here at Homeward, and I was speaking in Korea, and then we went on to China. And I said to Kathy last night, through jet lag, you know, whatever, but I was talking with my wife, and I just said, I had the best conversations with her. And I said, it's usually for Becca over a meal.
Yes.
For Heidi, interesting enough, it's if we're going for a walk, we live by the beach, if we're going to walk for the beach, or there's certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, it's so hard because Kathy said, did you get your agenda done? Because I had an agenda. And I said, I did. And she doesn't even know we went through the agenda.
Now that's an expert.
Because we were together for long enough. I don't know if it's an expert. It was just desperation.
I bow to you.
But in some ways, it's the spontaneous dialogue. I mean, you're talking about this miracle. I mean, it's even if they didn't know that was a part of a process, a program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a great question to ask.
Yeah.
And you may not like the answer. Like you may want them to say, well, I want the miracle. And then they would say this incredibly meaningful thing. And it says that Johnny falls back in love with me, or whatever it is. But you're still preparing them for dialogue, because whether it be sex and sexuality, whether it be the kind of mate, we talk here at Homeward about, you know, helping your kids find a mission, a mate, and master. And those three elements are so critical. Well, you know, it doesn't happen with one conversation. It happens with dialogue.
Yeah.
And they have to feel safe and comfortable, in the midst of this.
And you could easily segue into, so what kind of man do you want Johnny to become before you marry him?
Right.
In what way could your dad and I, you know, having Johnny hang out more, help you see how he interacts with adults?
No, exactly. Now, one of the things I appreciate about in your book, How Your Teenager is Wired, is really that they discover who God is and what God wants them to be in their life, not just be a job-wise, but be character and things like that. And one of the things that I agree with you in your book, you talked about spiritual gifts, and I just find that one of the most incredible things in the world is when Christians figure out their spiritual gifts and learn their spiritual gifts. And what you're saying is, no, it's very possible for kids to also begin that process of investigating and discovering their spiritual gifts. How does a parent introduce that subject to their kids?
You know, especially if the youth pastor hasn't gotten around to that topic yet, or it's too early, they figure in their curriculum. using the words again, such as, you know, God gifts all of us with certain things that we're able to do, whether that's preaching or the gift of helps or the gift of faith, the gift of intercessory praying, the gift of, you know, building like a church planter kind of person. And the more they can hear the terms thrown out, one day they'll come home and they'll say to you, oh my goodness, is there a gift called like creative writing, Dad? And you say, well, it's called the gift of communication, yes. And they begin to get a glimpse of what God might have in mind for them. If they could determine that they were a writer at an early age, Lordy mercy, you know, the sky is the limit. And Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church always says, don't take a test to figure out your spiritual gifts as much as experiment in the different giftedness areas, and it will come to you. You'll know, you know, what God has anointed you to do at this time of your life.
Yeah. You know, that is a great reminder that even when you're introducing spiritual gifts to your kids, and there is a great way to help them look at some of the scriptures that, where there are these spiritual gifts, but, you know, they don't have to know what it is. Go try it out.
Yeah. The gift of evangelism, the gift of giving, the gift of hospitality.
Right.
We don't want to talk to them too much about the gift of martyrdom that Stephen had, because we might, you know, scare
right.
them a little bit. But the gift of leadership. What if we could get our kiddos thinking about, that's
right.
a gift, Mom. You mean God really gifted me as an eighth grade president in my school? And that he's got his hand on it? And then you need to teach him, though, spiritual giftedness is when you use it for the body of Christ. How can you use your leadership gifts in your secular school, your public school, in the body of Christ? And it just all, you know, marries in together and moves them forward.
Yeah, it really does. I found, you know, I've been involved in youth ministry for all of my adult life anyway, and I found that when a kid gets that, and it mm-hmm. might be that they have the gift of leadership, but they're not displaying it on the Christian side yet, but they still have that gift.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you take that gift and apply it to their
mm-hmm.
faith?
Mm-hmm.
It does wondrous things for them.
Wondrous. What a beautiful word that is. My cousin, no, he would be my nephew, Keith, eighth grade graduation the other day. And they all showed their service projects for the community. And he's a soccer star. I think they call him goalies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the guy who catches the?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's this big soccer goalie tournament winning guy. And I said to him, tell your Aunt Katie about your service project. And he said, well, you know, it was in soccer. I said, I know. And he goes, so is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh my goodness gracious, yes, that's how God has gifted you to be an athlete. What did you do with your soccer, you know, gift? And I'm not calling that a spiritual gift
sure.
at this point, but just a talent, an ability,
sure.
a skill.
Sure.
And he said, well, I worked with handicapped kids to help them learn some of the basic techniques. And I couldn't get enough of that conversation, you know?
That's great. And it's great to introduce them. A lot of times kids won't understand that. No, that is a gift that God has gifted you to play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Use it
mm-hmm.
for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're going to probably be able to use some of those gifts, you know, in another way as time goes on,
yeah.
too. I mean,
yeah.
and you know, working with someone who is disabled and whatnot. My
yeah.
goodness, what a great experience for them.
Well, you can segue with Keith, for example, to a topic like, and so that confidence that you learn in playing soccer, how can God use that confidence in another area of your life? For example, in the marketplace when you're evangelizing.
Yeah.
Oh, they make connections when you put all these words in front of them,
yeah.
you know, about generosity or perseverance, as we've talked before, you and I, contentment, courage, any of those kinds of words become fodder for them talking the talk and then later walking the walk.
Right. Great, great input. Katie Brazelton with us. We're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, very important question. How do we help kids learn their lifetime dream statement, what that's all about?
Why it's so important, because kids think about it. They want to think about what they're going to do and what their life's all about. But how do you move it from the dream state to the goal state, you know, dream to vision to goal? We'll have that part of the conversation on the other side of this break. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Katie Brazelton is our guest today, discovering how your teen is wired. We're offering some tips for that. We've got a resource that Katie has written that we recommend at homeward.com. Just go to the radio broadcast listing. You'll find Katie's name there as today's guest and click on her name. It'll take you right to her website. Also, other resources as well. And we'll talk podcasting in just a moment, because a lot of people like to podcast these programs. We'll tell you how coming up.
The teen and preteen years are really interesting, aren't they? I mean, when else do you spend so much time trying to get noticed without standing out in the process? I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot, and it's a picture of a shy, maybe insecure 8 or 11 or 15-year-old. She's starting to become a young woman, or he's on the brink of manhood, and yet there's still a scared little kid inside the heart of this budding adult. These kids want you to pay attention to them, to listen to them. In fact, they crave attention. They want to be loved. You can meet their need by utilizing a concept that's also the title of a tip sheet I wrote called The Power of Being There. And by the way, you can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. The power of being there is simple, like helping with homework or showing up at a little league or a soccer game. And when you put the power of being there into practice, you'll be impacting not only the life of a great kid, but you'll be helping him or her grow to become a responsible adult as well. With today's Homeward Snapshot, I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about tips for discovering how your teen is wired with Katie Brazelton. We were talking at the break here that we're just enjoying this conversation, and the conversation is an important one. Katie, in your book, I had turned to a page that said my lifetime dream statement for a parent and then my lifetime dream statement for a teenager. And I want you to walk us through the process because I think it's a great, great process. At the same time, I'm finding more and more that there's a lot of parents that don't know their lifetime dream statement, let alone teenagers. And what you're saying is, in some ways, a parent has to begin the process, and maybe it's even possible to do it together.
Well, absolutely. And the premise of this book is that, look, don't try this with your teenager if you haven't tried it on your own.
Right.
So always go through the material, the exercise yourself, mm-hmm. and then that gives you credibility and a joy about you where you can then share the information with your teenager.
Yeah. Well, so get us into that. I mean, I want my kids to have a lifetime dream statement, and yet I'm not sure I've been as proactive about it as what you're suggesting here in your book.
Excellent. Well, then this is all downloadable from the website that, you know, will be posted, I'm sure. There are three aspects to a teenager understanding how they're called. So I'll use he in this case just to make it easier on myself. He needs to know what group he's being called to serve. Now, is that abused children or disabled veterans or, you know, missionaries or homeless or illiterate or law enforcement people, athletes, artists, who is God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, go, I'm sending you to that particular group. Now, perhaps you just understand that it's the elderly or it's rebellious teens, as I've said. But sooner or later, you'll get the swing of, well, like yours, Jim, yours is to parents. And so that they are healthy parents who raise healthy children. Mine is to men and women and teenagers, especially women, to help them understand God's call on their life. And Mother Teresa's, I was thinking of her the other day, because you know I got to meet her mm-hmm. back in 1988, I think it was. And hers was to the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India, is where she started. And so the first exercise we do, and of course the DVD would have a full lesson on this, or you can just use the parent book to run down the key topics with your student, your child. We call that the target audience. I mean, you've known that for years. So who is your target audience, dear child? And they say, I don't know. Well, who do you like hanging out with? Who do you think you're an encouragement to? Who's thanked you for helping them? And they might say, well, it seems like those who are getting made fun of at school because they're overweight, you know, or the ones that seem to think I'm their friend. What if there's something in that answer that helps them understand that they want to help the disenfranchised or the person who's picked on? Then the second question is always, so what do you want to say to them? And of course, we call that their life message. And a life message for me is have hope. That's what I tell people. Have hope that God has a plan for your life, that you're not in this, you know, just struggling to live an empty life, but that there's meaning in your life. You were created for a purpose. The Mother Teresa's, I think of her all the time. Hers was, Jesus loves you. you know, just that simple. And so what is your life message? And then the third item that I think is the most difficult, but it is, I think, very well explained in the book. How are you going to do it? What's your delivery method? What are you going to use to get your message out to that group of people? Are you going to use your voice like Moses and Aaron did when they were trying to get Pharaoh to let God's people go? Are you going to use written words like the gospel writers did? Are you going to use your money and possessions? Are you going to use your charisma and your image like Esther did in the Bible? Are you going to use your ears, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mind, your sense of taste and smell or hospitality? Has God made you a chef? Because if he has, it's going to be connected to your life mission. And so who are you called to? What are you going to say to them? How are you going to get them to hear what you have to say? Now, the fun part is to throw in then the passion in life. What's your passion? Jigsaw puzzles, snorkeling, snowboarding, you know, because that can play into the very way that God designed it to happen in the beginning, before time began.
That's great. What happens when a kid just gives you the blank stare?
Oh, that's the most fun. Do not be afraid of that, I say to the parents listening to us. Enjoy it, embrace it, just go with it, and then ask a simple question like, all right, so how can we together walk this walk, me figuring out more of whom I'm called to serve, and you figuring out more of who you might like to serve? What ministry could we try at church? What grand adventure could we go on to the homeless shelter? What book could we read together? Getting permission for you to be in their life to that degree where they know that you're interested in who they're called to serve.
Right.
It's easier when it's a passion, because then you can just sign them up for all these different hobbies and writing classes and, you know, classes that kids can take, karate classes, and they can figure it out for themselves whether they like a passion or not. But I love that part of
I appreciate you saying all that. And it, you know, so much of it is about serving in many ways. And I find that when teenagers who are just by the nature of being a teenager, self-absorbed and into mm-hmm. their own stuff, but when they go out and serve, you know, it changes. I say, put your kids in disequilibrium, meaning put them in a smelly place, put them someplace where, you know, things just aren't the way it is at home or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes God will speak to them and it won't even be about the experience that they're having. I remember taking some kids to Haiti years and years ago, and this boy came up to me afterwards. He said, you know, I'm going to break up with my girlfriend. And I said, really? Why? He said, well, I think God's been talking to me about that. And I said, audibly? And he said, oh, no, just in my heart. He said, you know, she's not a Christian, and I really feel like I should be dating Christians. And I said, well, where did this come from? I'm here. He goes, I don't know. But what it was is he was in Haiti. He was in some ways closer to God, listening, and it put him in disequilibrium, and he made a very wise decision about a decision back home or whatever.
Yes.
So the more we can do that with kids, and kids today want to be able to serve. We may it may scare them, and we don't have to all take them to Haiti, or we don't have to take them across the world. We can actually do something right in our own area. But that's one of the great ways to find what you call larger than life legacies. I love that phrase. So in some ways, what we're trying to do is help our kids find, in the midst of their Facebook and their addiction to texting and school and girls and guys and whatever, it's how do we help them find a larger than life legacy?
Yes, a must do. What am I called to do? What can I not do with my life? I can't not do that.
Yeah.
You know, I must do it.
That's great. Well, those are great things, and we could go on and on. There's a great book and curriculum series that Roger's going to talk about. Katie, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. My pleasure.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. Katie Brazelton here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about some tips for discovering how your teen is wired. Jim just mentioned there's a book and all sorts of other curriculum that goes along with this as well. And the best way to get that information is go to homeward.com, go to the radio broadcast listing where he's got today's program listed. You'll find that Katie's name is hotkeyed, as they say in the industry. You click on Katie's name, it takes you right to her website, and you can find more about the resources. You can also Google it. You can find these materials anywhere. They're so good. They're selling them everywhere. Well, today is our final broadcast day for 2012. I want to thank you for being a part of the Homeward family for this year once again as we wrap up our eighth year of broadcasting these Monday through Friday editions of the program, and looking forward to a great 2013. Thanks so much for your prayers and faithful financial support as well. If you'd like to give a gift online, the best way to do so is to go to homeward.com or call 800-397-9725. Now for Jim Burns, Ben Camp, our engineer, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for joining us. Tune in again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.